From the Southeast Asian capital city of the land of 7,107 islands, the Philippines, I bid you good day, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the case may be, wherever you are in the planet's many, many time zones, all of them covered thoroughly by this program, Coast to Coast AM. It's great to be here. I'm Art Bell. It is my honor, my privilege to be escorting you through what's going to be a fascinating weekend. Let me catch you up on a couple of things first. There are a couple items on the website for your attention. One, of course, is my web picture, my little weekend web picture. And somebody sent that to me, and I thought, I sat and I laughed. That is a billboard. Never underestimate a woman scorned. And you may have to squint a little bit to read it, but it's worth the squint, believe me. It's a little bit of a small format, of course, there, but my God, that's funny. So go to coasttocoastam.com and check it out. It's really absolutely a riot. All right, that's one item. Another item is we're having a free weekend. A free stream link weekend. Now, what that means is between now and Monday at 6 o'clock in the morning Pacific time, you can listen to the program for free on Streamlink. Now, that is a pretty doggone good deal. And as a matter of fact, Aaron is listening in the other room on Streamlink right now. I applied for the free, I'm sure that they could arrange to have me get into Streamlink most of the time, but we've used other methods. So this weekend, she's actually listening to Streamlink, courtesy of the free Streamlink weekend. Again, between now and 6 o'clock in the morning Pacific time on Monday, it's all free. So jump on it. Now, I think all they actually do is ask for your name and your email address, so they can probably send you a promo or something like that. Also, I want you to take a look on the website. Somebody during the week sent me a UFO clip that I found absolutely irresistible. You will see in this clip a number of Russian jet aircraft chasing a cylindrical object. There's a narration with it, so be sure you turn up the sound. And I thought that was pretty good stuff. It doesn't look fake. Does not look in any way, I don't know. You can give me your own feedback and let me know what you think, but this cylindrical object pulled ahead of the supersonic fighters just like that. You tell me what you think. Let's look briefly at the generally depressing world news. Oh, no, there is one other item before we sink into the depression of the world news, and that is I have a cold. Now, if you hear me stuffed up a little bit, that's because indeed I have a cold. I have now had the flu twice and, two colds. So it is my theory that coming here to Southeast Asia, I have encountered an entirely new batch of viruses. And I have two choices. One is to remain away from any possible exposure to these viruses, in other words, stay home. Or the other is to simply go out and allow them to challenge my immune system until I have virtually, from an immune system point of view, become a Filipino. So that's what I'm doing. I shall suffer through them. All right. Looking at the world, never pleasant. Israel, of course, Israel and Hezbollah sharply, both of them, intensified fighting Saturday with airstrikes, rocket attacks, brutal ground fighting, an apparent bid to inflict maximum mutual damage, even as the U.S. and France agreed. How unusual is that, the U.S. and France agreeing on anything? A draft U.N. resolution calling for the halt to the violence. Now, even if they get the draft U.N. resolution, the odds of the fighting stopping until Israel feels like it's done enough are very small, in my opinion. But you never know. Now, this will touch on tonight's subject. Two teens accused of theft of Virginia computer. Two teenagers were arrested Saturday in the theft of a laptop and a hard drive containing some sensitive data on up to 26.5 million veterans and military personnel. The equipment was stolen May 3rd during a burglary at the Maryland home of a Veterans Affairs employee. The laptop and hard drive were turned into the FBI June 28th by an unidentified person in response to a, is that a $50,000 reward offer. The nation's governors are closing ranks in opposition to a proposal in Congress that would let the president take control of the nation's National Guard in emergencies without any consent of the governors. Now, I wonder how you feel about that. In other words, the governors don't have to, traditionally, it's governors that have called out the National Guard in any given state. The nation's governors don't like this idea at all. The idea spurred by a all the destruction and chaos, that followed Hurricane Katrina's landfall in Louisiana and Mississippi, is part of a House-based version of the National Defense Authorization Act. It has not yet been agreed to by the Senate. Al-Qaeda's number two leader said in a new videotape aired Saturday that an Egyptian militant group has joined the terror network. It was the first time that Al-Qaeda has announced a branch in Egypt, the Arab world's most populous nation. And in Cuba, despite the celebrations going on down in Florida, Cuban officials are saying Saturday that Fidel Castro was steadily recovering from surgery and that the government was still preparing for its worst-case scenario, an attack by government opponents taking advantage of the leader's health crisis. All right, in a moment, we will explore the rest of the news. Now, let me review a little bit of last week. As you know, last week we had a bombshell. And Dr. Stephen Greer came on and affirmed all that had been quoted of him with regard to the fact that SETI signals had been received. And then, by the way, there was an article, many of you may have seen it. It was run by the Register in England entitled SETI Urged to Fess Up Over Alien Signals. And then a cute little mother load or just load. Alien hunters today pounded the SETI Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence Institute here with emails, phone calls, and such following claims made this weekend that the organization has covered up the detection of signals from space. Allegations of a SETI cover-up were made last night on the fringe-friendly coast-to-coast radio program hosted by Art Bell. During the broadcast, professional SETI watcher Stephen Greer, CEO of Space Energy Access Systems, claimed that insiders told him that SETI discovered a high concentration of signals from space and that another organization stepped in to block those signals. And it goes on and on. I think it's posted on the website so you can see it for yourself. And I will not burden you with reciting all of Dr. Greer's comments, the comments that were made. I understand that Seth Shostak appeared with George on the night following in order to say no. Well, I mean, what would you expect Seth to say? And frankly, Seth is a very honest guy, and I'm pretty sure that Seth was telling the truth from his point of view. In other words, if there was some truth to this, do I think Seth would know they had been received? And the answer is not necessarily. Now, let me read to you a little bit from a brand new article in The New Scientist. It's called Space: How to Tell Earthlings That Martian Life Is Here. Here's the way it begins. A plan should be formulated for how to tell the public if signs of Martian life are found by future missions to the Red Planet, say scientists from NASA and the SETI Institute. Otherwise, incorrect information could be leaked to the public before studies on the potential life could be completed. Now, there's more to the story, but I'd like to bore in a little bit, if you wouldn't mind, on exactly this part. Once again, a plan should be formulated for how to tell the public if signs of Martian life are found by future missions to the Red Planet, say scientists from NASA and SETI. Otherwise, incorrect information could be leaked to the public before studies on the potential life could be completed. Now, let's think about that a little bit, shall we? Let's just consider that for a moment, all right? What do they mean leaked? My understanding was that, my goodness, if they got signals from space, there would be no delay in our finding out, right? The word would be out everywhere. But this would seem to indicate otherwise, that it could be leaked. So, anyway, let me give you some more of the story, and then I'll sort of reflect on that again. The Spirit and Opportunity rovers that continue, by the way, to explore Mars are not designed to search for life. But if a sample return mission is ever sent to Mars, scientists could test for it in the rocks brought back to Earth. In 1996, news of possible signs of life in a Martian meteorite, remember that, called ALH84001, leaked out ahead of a press conference that had been scheduled by NASA. This was partly because a high-ranking White House official told a prostitute, that's right, a prostitute, told a prostitute about the meteorite. NASA had to scramble to reschedule its press conference to an earlier date to satisfy the growing demand for information from the press and the public. But the bottom line is, unless somebody had told their bed partner what was going on at NASA, we would not have known. Now, here they mention both NASA and the SETI Institute, and they worry about leaked information ahead of when we, the public, would have been told. Now, doesn't that tell us that, look here, American public, if signals are received, would we be immediately told? I think the answer clearly is outlined here as no. Not a chance. It's actually been 46 years since Frank Drake aimed an antenna at the stars in the first modern SETI experiment. His hope, of course, to hear a deliberate signal guided into space by intelligent beings rather than the natural noisy dance of hot electrons. Since then, SETI has expanded its search space, bettered its equipment, of course, and refined strategies, but the bottom line still hasn't budged. No confirmed chatter from the cosmos. Some people mistakenly confuse a long search with a thorough search. And they figure that the lack of a SETI detection indicates that we're alone in the galaxy. This, however, is total nonsense. The number of star systems we've carefully examined thus far is about 1,000. That is a trifling sample compared with the several hundred billion suns that stud the Milky Way, and of very little statistical significance. In fact, it's rather comparable to initiating a quest for, let's say, Americans who play the oboe, but considering the search meaningful after only interrogating two people. So, I don't know. With reference to whether they have contacted us, whether we have received signals, or in fact, whether they are actually here right now, my only, going to be the right word, the only direction I can give you is it's awfully damned easy to be a debunker until you have seen for yourself. As you know, I have seen. I had a heart-stopping moment indeed as a craft flew directly over me. It defied gravity. It obviously was not from here. We have no technology that could have achieved what I saw. And so I know. I guess it makes it easy for me. It's kind of like religion. Those who have experienced, those who know, have no problem believing because they simply know. Well, with respect to these craft and the fact that we have indeed been visited, I know. I don't know. It may put me in a position where it's almost tough to do this program because I do know. Somebody else who might know would be one of our astronauts. There was quite a bit of a buzz, I understand, this last week about exactly that. Now, you may recall when Neil Armstrong took that famous tentative step onto another world, our moon. Guess what? The magnetic tapes that hold a high-resolution image of all that seem to be missing. The first moonwalk beamed to the world via three tracking stations, including Park's famous dish? Well, they've gone missing at NASA's Goddard Space Center in Maryland. That's right, missing. A desperate search has begun amid concerns the tapes might disintegrate to dust before they can be found. Now, it's not widely known that Apollo 11 television broadcast from the moon was, in fact, a high-quality transmission. But you didn't know that, did you? Far sharper than the rather blurry vision relayed instantly to the world on that July day in 1969. Now, that's got me wondering, too. Why would we have all these years received that blurry vision, which has been replayed endlessly, and we never received the sharp stuff? Anybody else wonder about that? Among those battling to unscramble the mystery is John Sarkinson, a CSIRO scientist stationed at Parks for now a decade. He said, quote, "We're working on the assumption they still exist. Your guess is as good as mine as to where they are." Mr. Sarkinson began researching the role of Parks in Apollo 11's mission in 1997 before the movie The Dish was made. However, when he later contacted NASA colleagues to ask about the tapes, lo and behold, they could not be found. People, he says, quoting, "may have thought that we've got the tapes of the moonwalk, and so we don't need these," said the scientist. If they can be found, he proposes making digitized copies to treat the world to a very, very different view of history. Now, once again, I don't mean to be overly skeptical and overly conspiratorial, even though that's the sort of thing that we dish out here at Coast to Coast AM, but my goodness. They had high-resolution images of Neil Armstrong going down the ladder, taking that one big step for mankind. And all these years, they didn't tell us about it. They didn't even tell us about it, much less show us. And then we have this story about NASA and SETI being concerned about a leak. Should Mars suddenly yield life? Or, you know, so am I being too much of a skeptic? Is that the right word? Skeptic is not the right word. What am I being? Somebody help me out here. What am I being? Stubborn? I don't know. But frankly, I honestly believe that if we had detected signals from space, we would not be told. Sorry, Seth. As you know, during the opportunities that I have had to interview Seth Shostak, he's a wonderful, straight-on, very friendly guy. But I have again and again and again challenged him and asked him whether we would really know. His response has always been a very straightforward, or, you know, it would flash around the internet, we'd know. Well, short of somebody soliciting a prostitute, getting her in bed, and then telling her the secret, I guess we wouldn't. Because apparently they do have plans in place to keep it secret from the public until they figured out just how to spin the story, I suppose. How to tell us. Oh, by the way, the Big Bang was always thought to have been about 13.7 billion years ago. 13.7 billion. Guess what? Now, the Big Bang has been pushed back by not a little, but a lot. 2 billion years. They now think the Big Bang occurred 15.8 billion years ago, not 13.7. Our universe, in fact, may be 15% larger and older than we thought, according to new measurements of the distance to a nearby galaxy. Researchers led by a scientist at Carnegie Institute of Washington used data from telescopes, including, by the way, the 10-meter Keck 2 telescope in Hawaii, to measure the distance to a pair of stars in the Triangulum galaxy. And when they did, lo and behold, they found out that the universe might be 2 billion years older than we had previously thought. We get an awful lot of stories like that. Science previously thinks one thing or another and now realizes that lo and behold, it's 2 billion years older than we thought. All right, coming up in a moment, we're going to do open lines, so listen carefully for the phone numbers. Pick one of them. And that, my friend, is your doorway to talking on Coast to Coast AM from Manila in the Philippines. Hey, good afternoon. I'm Art Bell. Well, here's one. Christine in Sacramento says, Art, you are suspect. The word is suspect. No, I don't think so. Actually, I'm cynical. I think cynical is the right word. I have seen so many stories now that turn out to be inaccurate, or things that we have been told are so, just turn out to be not so, whether they're scientific or political. In other words, let's put it this way. We're lied to a lot. How about that? So with regard to whether we've been visited by others or we've received signals from others, yes, I am cynical, and cynical me will be back in just a moment. At the top of this hour, we're going to have Lauren Weinstein here, and Howard Bloom will be tomorrow night. Lauren Weinstein is a very interesting guy. It's going to be all about the net. Now, I'm curious, how much do you depend on the net? I depend incredibly on the net. I mean, it is being here in the Philippines, as I am in Southeast Asia. I've got a very good net connection, and it is my lifeline to the rest of the world. A lot of people have wondered about how I do the program from here, how I answer telephones from here. Well, I use a very special private connection between here and the network, and displayed in front of me, I have 9 telephone lines waiting to be answered. And I can simply push a button, answer a line, hang up, put it on hold, do as I wish, all of this through the magic of the internet. And that's only the beginning. I depend on the internet for nearly all the communications that I have back to the United States. And of course, it all occurs at the speed of light. So how much do I depend on the internet? I can't even begin to describe. Google. We have the Philippine version of Google here. It's really the same Google. And whenever I want to know something, I simply stroll in and ask Google. I don't know what that's done to encyclopedia salespeople, but I haven't seen them knocking on the door of late. How about you? Incidentally, just before we go to the lines, Robert Bigelow, you know the little bumper that was just played, right, with the phone numbers? The one that says, want to take a ride with Ross? Well, that comes, of course, from the movie Contact. Bob Bigelow, even prior to his latest success, has always reminded me of the old man in Contact. You remember the fellow who was up in the Russian space station and said to Jodie Foster, want to take a ride? You know, revealing there was a second machine that could be used to manipulate her through wormholes into whatever came next. Well, Bob Bigelow has always reminded me of that man, and now, of course, he has successfully launched a spacecraft, which is in orbit and will soon result, after a few more launches, in a hotel in space. So Bob Bigelow, who very, very, very rarely makes appearances on this or any other program, I might add, is going to appear here next weekend for at least an hour. So I thought you would be interested in that. Bearing that in mind, let us go to the phones and say, wildcard line, top of the morning, you are on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Bell. This is Ray from Texas.
Hey, Ray.
How are you this evening?
I'm just fine.
Other than the cold and the flu and the assault of Southeast Asia, Southwest Asia.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been
yes.
there. Anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about that black hole that things seem to fall into, like the Kennedy assassination autopsy and these tapes from the moon. I was listening to that gentleman who you were speaking
about. Oh, and let's not forget all the records of Roswell. They mysteriously disappeared. It was the darndest thing.
Oh, yeah, in 1988 when they closed Project Blue Book, and the scientist who was in charge of that, came out and debunked the entire results of Project Blue Book. He suddenly kind of stopped talking too when they said, "Well, there's no proof, and we forget it. Let's just
You sound like a cynical person."
Yeah, when you said what is the word, I knew immediately what it was. It was cynical because I am. You know, I'm healthfully cynical because I know how they are.
It really, honestly, is healthy to be cynical. How can you not be? If you really follow the news, then, again, you know, Seth Shostak is a wonderful guy. Yeah. And honestly, I think he told us what he believes to be the truth. But do I honestly think we would be told immediately if signals were coming from elsewhere or we had visitors from elsewhere? Not a chance, sir.
We don't get told immediately anything.
Yeah, that's right.
Anything. I mean, they have major programs just to make sure we don't find out. Like you say, if it wasn't for a prostitute, we wouldn't have found out about the Mars rock.
Well, apparently so, yes.
You know, I mean, they're so afraid of leaks. They have people that do nothing all day long but handle leaks. There were the plumbers, you know, that brought down an entire presidency.
That's right.
I mean, goodness. I'm 54. You know, I've been around a little bit. And the scientists can't even agree with each other. Currently,
well, that you're right. Again, that's part of what it takes. As you get a little bit older.
Yeah.
And you've seen more and more and more of this come down the pike, then you become, if you have half a brain in your head, naturally cynical.
Well, you can't avoid it. I mean, I'm a Vietnam veteran, too, and like, yeah, sure, you know. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, I know, me too.
You know, I'm a Vietnam vet as well. And
that was the start of it, you know?
You know, you really are, I think, correct. I've given this a lot of thought, and it really did begin about then with body counts.
Yeah. How could we kill out like 110% of the entire North Vietnamese nation?
Uh-huh. And still have to evacuate at the last moment.
Yeah, we're leaving. You guys win.
You have a good morning, sir. I really appreciate your call.
Yes, I enjoyed it. Take care, Mr.
Okay. Take care. He's exactly right. And the correct word really is cynical. Suspicious, yes, but really cynical. Let's go east of the Rockies and say, yo, you're on the air. Hello?
Yeah, Art?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, this is WTAQ 1360 Green Bay.
Okay, welcome to the program.
I just wanted to comment on the issue as you being a teacher of the radio. Actually, what I do is I call you the professor of all radio.
Very
really
kind.
Appreciate
Thank you.
You. I've been a 15-year loyal member.
That's a long time, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. And I tell you right now, without you, I don't think I'd be here. However, I have one issue to say. As we have this war of destruction talking all the time, and I wanted to say, can we have a war of healing? You know, somebody
war of healing. It's kind of like news. It's kind of like news, sir. We don't get good news. We don't have wars of healing. We have wars of destruction. I understand the wish, and I certainly appreciate the compliment. Yes, I've been around a long time now. It's been a lot of years on the air. I'm not exactly sure. Perhaps one of you can do a little research out there. But how many radio personalities have had, you know, like a 20-year run? I think it's been about that for me, about 20 years, something like that. I know there are certainly some, but I think they can probably be counted on about two hands at the most. Paul Harvey comes to mind immediately, of course. He's been going quite some bit longer than I have. But aside from that, who else has had the sort of lucky continuous reign that I've had? Who else? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Bell.
Hello.
This is Jamie out of a station, KMED in Medford, Oregon.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, I understand you're going to have a gentleman at the top of the hour. Right now, it's coming approaching 11 o'clock here,
mm-hmm.
and I would like to put a little bug in your ear and ask the gentleman regarding censorship of the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
It's been tried here in America, and for some reason it's been dropped because I don't believe it's possible.
I would have to take issue with you. Indeed, it is possible. The Internet is censored here in the Philippines. How about that?
Well, I understand that through Bill Gates and his relationship with China, that it also has been, quote-unquote, censored. But
mm-hmm.
there are ways around that, Mr. Bell.
Oh, I know there are. And trust me, I will ask for you. When I say censored, it's not censored with regard to political content. But the Philippines is a nation of about 87% plus Catholics. And that drives a very great deal over here. In the United States, we have religion separated from government. In the Philippines, it is not so. Religion is mixed up very much in government. Now, that's not all bad. As a matter of fact, something that I wanted to talk to you about, I constantly get a million questions about the Philippines. And one of the reasons I think that I love this country so much is because the family here in the Philippines, the family is as strong as it ever was in America. If some of you a little longer in the tooth can recall back to the 50s or even perhaps the 40s or earlier, you'll recall that the family unit was very, very strong in America. That, of course, has now all changed. Here in the Philippines, that has not changed. And the family unit here is as strong or stronger than it ever was at the very best in America. So that's part of what has changed in America, is that we no longer have the cohesive kind of family unit that we once had. But again, circling back to the reason for all of this, the internet, there is a little bit of censorship that goes on here. And I don't think they allow pornography in. I don't think they allow certain other subjects that would have objection from people of a religious persuasion in. Other than that, though, political things are not censored, nothing of that sort, which I would consider to be very serious. So there you have it. It can occur. How it occurs, how it's done, I have no idea. That there are ways around it, I have no doubt. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Rick from the most historic city in America, Hampton, Virginia.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. I want to say congratulations to you. I have a fiance who is Filipino. She's still over there in Bulacan province.
So I see.
Congratulations on meeting the second prettiest girl in the Philippines.
Thank you.
A question that I have, and this will probably get Hovland's dandruff up a little bit, was in the past we have launched approximately 8 to 10 probes to Mars, correct?
Oh, that's probably about right. Mm-hmm.
And about 3 of them got there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if these other ones were not actually lost, but I've actually found their mission and are circling above giving information now, as of some projects, like I'm sure you know of Corona and Glomar Explorer, and even when Ballard found the Titanic, he was looking for the Scorpion.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering if we have some extra eyes around here that nobody knows about except for the chosen few.
I don't know. That's one possibility. Another is that there actually is intelligent life of some sort on Mars, and they really don't want these probes continually peppering their planet. And as a matter of fact, there was one Russian probe that actually took a picture of something absolutely monstrous just before it was completely blown to bits. And if you search around a little bit, you can find a picture of that on the web. I would call that somewhat suspicious.
Just a little bit. And also, a few years back, you had a guest who claimed to have invented a power source, home power source, that was about the size of a central air conditioning unit, but was being threatened. Have you ever done any follow-up on this gentleman, or has he just disappeared into the night?
Okay. The answer to that is that he has pretty much disappeared into the night. Now, that has occurred to almost everybody who has made claims of power sources of this sort. Now, to the great majority of these people, I would say they probably didn't really have it in the first place. In other words, they were yanking on our legs. However, not all of them. And I think that there are some things that have been invented that simply are ahead of their time. And yes, I do believe that they have been either suppressed or many times purchased. And, you know, the person goes away to live comfortably on a Caribbean island somewhere. And then they're put up on the shelf. So the answer is, I'm sure the oil companies from time to time have let's see, how can I put this, acted to protect their investment. Is that fair? A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Welcome back.
Why, thank you.
And I agree with you completely regarding Seth and SETI. Wondering, has he ever addressed STS-48 in that rather fascinating scenario where the object suddenly does whatever it was, a 90-degree turn?
Yes, I brought that up, sir. I brought it up with Seth, and his comments at the time were, I'm going to have to take a look at that. And with regard to that and other things of that sort, he generally says, well, I'm going to have to do a little research. now, again, in fairness to Seth, he's a really nice guy, and I really think that he's being honest with us because I don't think he knows. But does he go out of his way? Wait a second, sir. Does he go out of his way to study whether we might have already been visited or whether we might already have received signals? I don't think so, based on his answers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, then there was Buzz Aldrin. George played that piece one night, and Buzz is apparently interviewed by the BBC back in the early 90s.
Yes.
Very, very fascinating remarks regarding some UFO.
I did not hear the program. However, I have the story here, and so I'm rather curious myself, sir. Can you tell me, how did Buzz answer that question?
In the documentary with the BBC?
No. I have the documentary right in front of me,
right.
At least the what was said. What I'm asking is, when Buzz was on the program with George, how did he answer the documentary? Did he just say they had it wrong, or what did he say?
Yeah, essentially, he dismissed it as so much. He said that he had to take someone to court and sue them for disinformation. But before I forget, Art, I used to be like you. I used to contract colds and flus the year round. And then I discovered spices, and I admonish you to start using things like Madras curry powder, cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg, because those are really medicinal substances.
Mm.
And, Art, if you enjoy Star Trek technology, George interviewed a British guy who described a technology called the Skinar, or the Skinar. And let me tell you, that is one immensely therapeutic healing instrument.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I very much appreciate the advice, and I promise you I will look into it, because I'm certainly very, very tired of getting these colds and flu. My feeling again was that, look, there are all kinds of different viruses here in the Philippines. At home in Nevada, of course, I didn't get out a lot, so I was not exposed to very much. Then I got over here, and suddenly I was exposed to everything. So either I've got to stay home pretty much here, or I go out and I get these viruses, and my immune system becomes, hardy and resistant to them. Yes, I've got the Buzz Aldrin business here, and it's kind of hard to imagine that he completely denied all of it. I mean, obviously, they saw something. But it says here they were not going to come back and report an unidentified flying object. I don't know. All of the astronauts are fascinating people. As you know, I've interviewed quite a number of them. Quite a number of them have had difficulties in their life of one sort or another, I guess, as we all have, but perhaps a disproportionate number of difficulties in their life. And I guess it does bring up the topic, could they be hiding something? Could they have seen something while they were in space and or walking on the moon that they cannot or will not, I suspect, cannot talk about? I don't know. I'm Art Bell, and we'll be right back. This, of course, is Coast to Coast AM, coming to you from Manila in the Philippines, 7,107 islands strong.